grabbed stage by storm for the release of their latest album, Covered in Dirt.
Impaler has been shock rocking the Twin Cities for over 40 years, and they show no signs of slowing down.
Joining them for the all-ages festivities are Dumpster Juice and Extermination Day. Opening the show is Die Hardcore.
More information about Impaler's album release show at the Amsterdam can be found at AmsterdamBarAndHall.com.
President of the Senate, I am so happy. I'm so happy for the support. We have collaborated on a variety of things, even including hip-hop as a voter engagement tool. Welcome, Senator Champion. I know, just real quickly, I know you just finished up with the legislative session. A lot of great things were done, regardless of the fact that the legislature is virtually tied in both bodies.
Mm-hmm.
How difficult is that of an environment where you're really dealing with this very partisan divide but you still have to get work done?
Well, let me just first of all thank you for the interview, but also just having such a knowledge base around the legislature and keeping up with what's going on. And so you're right that the House is divided, 67-67. So if anything is going to get passed in the House, someone has to cross from one side of the aisle to the other, right? They're going to have to work in harmony with each other. And in the Senate, where I am the president, we only have a one-vote majority, which also means there are certain things that we still have to rely on, not just our members, but also folks from the other side of the aisle, like bonding. So this year, one of the things that we were able to do was a bonding bill, which was something we're not quite sure what was going to happen, because you have to have a supermajority in order to pass a bonding bill. Mm-hmm. And that bonding bill included things for local projects as well as infrastructure needs, but it's also like a jobs bill, right? Mm-hmm. We want to make sure that the needs are being met across the state. But one of the other things we were able to do, and I believe that we all benefit from the survival and a sustaining Hennepin County Medical Center. Yes. Other people call it HCMC,
yes,
right? That hospital is such an integral part of the healthcare ecosystem, right? And so for us to be able to put forth $205 million and then, of course, have some money in a pot for other hospitals in addition to and not excluding Hennepin County was something that we were able to do this year. Mm-hmm. Even with the African American Family Preservation Act, it was done a couple years ago, but we always have to do tweaks, and we've done some tweaks, and now it's coming online for the other 85 counties, because Hennepin County and Ramsey County, started a pilot 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So now the other counties are coming online, so the other 85 counties. So we've done some things in order to make sure that we can support them. So there's a number of things. So yes, it's tough. Because there are a lot of things we left on the floor, such as money to help businesses who were impacted by Operation Metro Surge. Mm-hmm. I put forth a bill for $100 million in forgivable loans in order to help those businesses who are just hanging on by a thread. And so that was left on the floor. There are other things that we know that would have given Minneapolis some relief, and just other important notions that was left on the floor. So yes, it's tough. Because when you have a tie, and sometimes people make things political, you know, gun violence, public safety, that was a big thing that was left on the table as well. Because we heard and know about what happened on June 14th with Melissa and Mark Hortman, and the unfortunate, but yet, you know, we're thankful that Senator John Hoffman and his wife Yvette and their daughter Hope were able to make it through. But then we also know what happened with Annunciation. Mm-hmm. Where guns and mass killing was a part of that unfortunate set of circumstances. Mm-hmm. So that's something we left on the floor as well. That got cut, right? Mm-hmm. And people were not willing to do anything. So our Republican friends made it very clear that they were not going to do anything around gun and public safety. Even though the bill was comprehensive, there was money for school safety, mental health, banning assault weapons and high-capacity ammunition. So those are just some of the things that I can think of just right off the top of my head. But the spirit is very difficult, because there are people who are not always people-centered. They're looking at this being an election year, mm-hmm. or them not wanting to do things that would help people at the whole. So, yes. Quite frankly, it's tough.
Being at the forefront, at the center, you mentioned Operation Metro Surge and this assault by the Trump administration, specifically on Minneapolis. I mean, mm-hmm. if we really boil it down, it's not just Minnesota. Really, really hyper-focused and concentrated on Minneapolis. You know, the state, of course, the ripple effect, you know, $2 billion, I think, is being withheld. That's my understanding. Medicaid funds that were already booked and programmed into budgets for a host of organizations and community efforts, tribal nations. Is there any chance, likelihood of a special session to come back and revisit these things, or is it we're gonna go into this election cycle, get a more robust majority, and then come back and address the issue next year? I mean, how are folks feeling about those challenges?
Yeah, let me speak to that. One is, you're right, Minnesota as a whole has been under an attack from the Trump administration. It is so unusual for the federal government to really turn on its own citizens across the state, across our country. But we know this is not just Minnesota. You can see other places where the Trump administration and that thinking has led to challenges. But in Minnesota, yes, we know that there has been some challenges for Minneapolis, but it's really Minnesota, because when you think in terms of Medicare and Medicaid, that's statewide. When you think in terms of challenges around education and just other things where they're withholding funds, or the Department of Human Services, you name it, it's across our state. And you also know that it's the Trump administration that put forth the H.R. 1, which I call the big ugly bill that is causing, you know, counties and seniors and veterans, real anguish. So those are things that are happening. And in fact, there are still constant threats that the federal government makes you know, against Minneapolis. For an example, they have been talking about the error rate and whether the fraud is under control. And if it's not, then they're going to withhold roughly $503 million every quarter. Those are just some of the preliminary numbers. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you do the math and just even do it times four, mm-hmm. that's $2 billion. Mm-hmm. The challenge is we have done everything we can and will continue to do everything we can to backfill mm-hmm. any monies that have been withdrawn by the federal government. But the reality is that we're never going to be able to backfill all the money that's being withheld. Mm-hmm. So to your question as to whether we're going to have a special session, the answer is no. Because if you can't get it done during regular session and the other folks aren't going to do what they need to do to make some tough decisions, then what you end up needing to do is to take a step back, get on the campaign trail, hope that your message that is very clear to the public and resonates with the public, and that translates into changes at the ballot box, and therefore for us to be able to come back and have a majority in the House, have a majority in the Senate, and have a governor who is sensitive and thoughtful and that will support the needs of Minnesotans. And so that's it. That's what we are going to have to do. And next year is a budget year. Because, as you know, we do the budget every 2 years. This year we did a supplemental budget, and we had to do some supplemental policy notions and fix, like, for example, federal conformity, because Minnesota is not a state that just conforms to any changes in Washington. We have to affirmatively say yes. And so we will continue to work hard on these things. The last thing that I'll say, and why my conversation about the ballot box is important, is because remember when Operation Metro Surge was here, mm-hmm. it was Kristi Noem who sent a letter to Steve Simon who mm-hmm. said, hey, if you want Metro Surge to leave, and that was 3,000 officers mm-hmm. in the state of Minnesota, mm-hmm. and just to give that context, yes. Minneapolis only has 640 mm-hmm. officers themselves. Mm-hmm. St. Paul has roughly mm-hmm. the same. So even if you gave St. Paul 700 and us 600, that's 1,300, mm-hmm. and Metro Surge had 3,000, right? So in that letter, mm-hmm. where we've seen deaths and Americans, you know, harassed, Kristi Noem sent that letter to say, hey, if you're willing to send us your voter rolls, we can change this, what's going on right now. So voting is important. And so that's why what's happening at the ballot box is important. The last thing I'll say about that is look also what's happening around the country. Trump and the Trump administration has said it's all out war. We're going to try to make sure that we can change maps mm-hmm. and guarantee Republican outcomes. Mm-hmm. And so he can do what? Try to sustain his power in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Because what's happening in Washington, D.C., there's usually, you know, checks and balances. There are things the executive branch can do, things the judicial branch does, and things that the legislative branch does. But now you see an overreach, but you're not seeing any of the mm-hmm. entities pushing back and saying, hey, wait a minute, you are infringing in a place of space where you should not be. Even though we're getting some judicial mm-hmm. success, but not at the rate or clip that we need. Because think about this, just one of the major decisions that the Supreme Court just did, it gutted the 1965 Voting Rights Act, Section 2. Right. So that's why the ballot box is important mm-hmm. for local success mm-hmm. and success on a national stage.
Mm-hmm. So to that point, we have a very important primary coming up August 11th, then the general election in November. What do you think the hip hop community can do to help aid in the various civic engagement efforts that are going to be underway from the DFL party, from other organizations, nonprofits? This election, we always say every year, this election is the most important election of our lifetime. This season, definitely in Minnesota, we got things changing, but we really need to engage folks and get consistent participation in this process and engagement in this public policy arena. What would you say to the hip-hop community and hip-hop artists and rappers and the breakdancers and others out there to how can they level up and be a part of this battle that we're waging right now?
You know, there's a saying that says bad officials are elected when good people don't vote. And guess what? If your vote wasn't so important, then why would they work so hard in order to stop you from voting? Mm-hmm. Why would they undermine it, right? So what we can do is understand that voting is our voice. So we need to not just think about our artistry, but we have to think about how our artistry is impacted as well as our daily lives are impacted by decisions that are being made in Washington, D.C. and on a local level. I'll give you a good example. Mechanical royalties are decided by Congress. So if you're a writer and you want to make sure that you're getting more money on the back end, you want to make sure the right people are elected, right? Or in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. Or we're living in a time of artificial intelligence. Mm-hmm. If you're an artist, do you want just the creativity created by AI now to dominate your area? Oh. Right? Mm-hmm. So these are decisions that are being made by lawmakers, data centers. You know, should they be regulated? Mm. Should they not? How about private data? Should someone be able to take your likeness, as they did with Drake, now since we're talking to hip-hop people, like they did with Drake, and then created a song that sounded like Drake, and people thought it was Drake, and started buying it like it was Drake.
Okay.
Right? So when you think in terms of the important notions that impacts all of our lives, artists all the time. So I'm encouraging them to understand more about their profession, mm-hmm. how it's impacted by policies, how their inaction is going to create paralysis and decimation in the future if they don't do anything about it. To just simply put your head underneath the pillow or just deep into your studio is not gonna change everything that's happening on the outside of that studio. Mm-hmm. And so voting matters. And it matters to all of us. And if you really want to protect your industry, and I'm using just examples of artistry, right? Because sometimes if that is what's going to take you or pull you in, then that's what I'll use, because it's true. Because I'm an entertainment lawyer, so I understand mechanical royalties and copyright infringement, all the other things that are good, trademarks, patents. Should you be paid for your creativity? Should you be able to hand it down to someone else? That's why we need to go to the ballot box. That's why they need to go to the ballot box.
All right.
That's why we need to make sure that they understand how these policies impact their lives. So sometimes equip yourself with knowledge. Knowledge is power. And when you understand that knowledge is power, there's also a scripture that says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because they've what? Rejected knowledge. Mm-hmm. Not because knowledge wasn't available. Sometimes we live in a cancel society and all we do is just say, oh, that ain't for me. But those same people that you say are not for you are making decisions that impact your life every single day. So I just encourage them to use the power of the pen, but use the power of the moment and use the power of understanding in order to motivate, encourage, and make their friends, family, and foes aware of the importance of the primary election that's coming up in August, as well as the general election that's coming up in November. And guess what? I'll see you at the polls.
That's right. You've heard it from the one, the only president of the Senate, Bobby Joe Champion, Grammy Award-winning artist himself. You better listen up. Thank you. Thank you, Senator Champion. Appreciate you, brother.
I appreciate you, and I always appreciate what you do. Thank you so much. God bless.
Welcome to the bank, where you deposit young money and you get cash money. I'm Tunchi, the boss, and live from the vault. It's Bus of Us.
Yeah. Yo, swag mania, pop the ghost most. Carry the most beautiful with us happily toast. Keep the faculty close. Gross when we give them a dose. Got them OD and leaning in each coast. Scenery froze. Take notes. Rock most. Diamonds that fit us. Chanel mention the winner who been with us. We coming to give them the shivers. Water we flow. Spilling like rivers. Flooding the street. Hoping the swimmers moving gorillas. King Kong's Godzilla's when we roll up. Seat filling. Get up when I show up.
Please don't throw up. Hold your liquor, girl up. If you're robbing, please go show you how to blow up. Thank your lucky stars. That's the raps all tucky. Then my bite like a rent and my chagrin. You never win. Model thin. Walking crack in your shin. She gives in every time that I spin. Square up, bow down to the kings of the hall. We wait on talk while we ball.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
I gotta wrestle the interview from the senator. But that tells you what kind of fighting spirit this man has. I am sitting here at the DFL convention with Senator John Hoffman.
Yeah.
We use a terminology in Ojibwe language, Ogichi Da. That means warrior. And there are all kinds of warriors that move amongst us as human beings. There are warriors that have great words to speak, that motivate and energize other human beings to greatness. There are those warriors that, you know, their physical presence is helpful to protect the community, the vulnerable people. There are those warriors whose minds are so intellectually evolved that they help usher in another generation of intellectuals or help those who need that extra hand.
And
so that means a lot of different things. And sitting with me today is a warrior who faced probably the most challenging moment that a human being could face and somehow is on this side of it. I mean, facing a gunman whose intention was to take your life and your wife's and your child.
Yeah.
And a terrible human being who wanted to inflict pain and did so. And did so through a weapon of destruction and fired off rounds. Some of those went into your
26,
body.
9 of them.
Burned through your flesh.
Yeah.
I can only imagine what that might have
ate my wife, like. 6 in the ag. The thing that gets me is this person was driven by just this, you know, obsession with, you know, he was an ordained minister. Who went and preached in the Congo, and you know he was doing God's work, and basically faked being a cop, you know, got our stuff down, and when I realized that, you know, after my daughter said, "Dad, he's not a cop," and I looked at him and said, "You're not a cop," and then he pointed the gun to my nose and he said, "You're right, this is a robbery," and then I said, F it is, and then I slammed the door. What he didn't realize he ran into. I have a name called Mukwa. That was, he ran
so
into
Ojibwe
the
name.
He ran into
Mukwa.
The
this is Mukwa.
Mukwa, the bear.
This is Mukwa. So he the right and Mukwa claw on so, my medallion.
And you look at my and I slammed that hand on the door, which then, you know, he started. So we were told that our response, if we wouldn't have either fight or flight, and we fought, and Yvette, you know, ended up, you know, getting 8 shots. Hard to talk about, Jamie, and there's some things I can talk about and can't talk about, but what I will tell you is that resilience is what we're about, you know, and for somebody to take something and politicize and personalize and be convicted of that is absolutely wrong, you know, and it's not okay. And you're seeing that polarization more so, right? And that's why when you talk about, you know, we gather here, we're seeing some people with the same shared values, but you notice there isn't any polarization that's occurring out here. It's actually been pretty good. Talk about the bowling alley in Malaga. Let's talk about the circle of health. You know how many times I've publicly talked about single payer and what the Mille Lacs band has done regarding health care in the state of Minnesota?
Yes.
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I was at an event years ago, and it was this one of the chambers, one out of Twin West or something, I don't know, and they tell the elected officials, you know, you come, you know, you have to answer a question, you know, and we'll have your lunch for you, right? Well, I registered, but I don't register, right? So I show up because I knew Mille Lacs had a, you know, if I just showed up, they're all your, you know, the employees of the Mille Lacs that were there doing their stuff. It was Bob. Bob and Kathy, Robert. Isn't this bad? Don't ever get shot on time, Jamie, because then you lose your memory. So, right, so they get the microphone, and I just get up, and here's now I'm in front of 300 people, and you know what I talked about? The positive outcomes of single payer health, of the circle of health, and the positive outcomes, the diabetes rate that went down because of that stuff, right? Do you know how wonderful, and to this day, I still am taken back to that moment in time where I'm like, God, that system, and whoever the elders were who said, you know, yeah, we can go ahead and have liquor on this, you know, in our casinos. But the proceeds from that liquor are going to go over here to the mental health and to the circle of health and into the, you know, sober squad or whatever. I mean, it's going to go to benefit the community, right? Yeah. Man, I wish the rest of Minnesota would think like that. Mm-hmm. You know what that comes down to is that we all do matter, right? When you talk about an individual, it all takes a community. It takes a full community. And that's why it's so cool. And the stuff I used to do, you know, up when you guys did the national train. Matter of fact, Heather Keeler, a state rep, used to go to those, right? We were talking about those like 15, 16 years ago. That still has an impact in my life here. I love everything about the Mille Lacs band, and always have and always will. Well, so just know that.
I appreciate that. Senator, you know, you faced a very challenging moment in time, and again, we're so glad that you are still here with us, and that you can share some of that experience. But getting back to legislating, was that helpful? Having something to drive you and push you. You talked about resiliency, you know, and I had a health scare a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I learned a lot about resiliency.
Sure you
in
do.
Myself. Yeah, I learned yeah. that you, to get back into life after you face a trauma, mm-hmm. or after you face a real serious illness, requires more than just the physical healing. It requires a mental, spiritual, metaphysical evolution
mm-hmm.
for yourself.
Sure it does.
Because when you're compromised, you lose strength, your muscles atrophy when you're hospitalized, and you come out of that, you have to adjust your mind to get more power from yourself because you've been compromised.
Yeah, I mean, you need to know. My last drumming gig was at the Ordway, right? And this individual that decided to take Melissa's life and almost take my wife's life, my kids, my life, right? It also took away my ability to drum. I'm gonna have ongoing surgeries to take care of that. But what drives me is the fact that people would understand if you withdraw, it's time to just take a step back and go, all right, you know. But when you talk about wanting to do things to get them done, it's because it's the right thing to do, right? Why did we put together this national leadership conference, knowing that it would cost a lot of money and knowing that, but why did we do that? Because we got people from all over the United States that would come to little Hinckley, Minnesota, right? Mm-hmm. And hang out with the Mille Lacs band and have a wonderful experience about leadership. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. That's why we do what we do, because it's the right thing to do. So,
well, you have done amazing things. And so before we finish up our interview, so you're a drummer. This is Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. This is kind of how we do it. We got to ask a hip-hop related question.
Hip-hop.
Hip-hop music.
Hip-hop got its origins from jazz. Jazz got its origins. Come on. Hip-hop, what are you getting, a 12-bit sampled sound? Is that what you got? Okay, give me something that I could do like in 5-4 or 3-2 or something, you know, fun, you know. Anyway, I'm trying to be funny. My wife
actually,
told
I like
me
that
I'm not
beat
funny,
boy
man.
Or beatboxing you did there. Senator, I was going to ask you. That was dope. I've had some artists freestyle. I never had an impromptu beatbox from Senator John Hoffman. I know we are doing the right thing here. We're on the right path. Do you have a favorite hip-hop artist? Favorite hip-hop song? Anything?
My favorite drummer, there's a track between Vinny Colada, Dave Weckl, and Steve Gadd. And if you Google the three of them, they did this trifecta, and they just, it was just amazing to watch these guys just play off one another. That to me is my favorite still to this day. Those three, you know, when you talk about a hip hop artist, somebody that really, you know, knows his stuff, I always go right back to Snoop. I mean, that guy took real life and put it in. And you know what? He had fun doing what he was doing.
Did you know who the mastermind was around his sound? Dr. Dre.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Dr. Dre is the mastermind of the West
Coast.
Yeah,
Dr. Dre brought all those guys together and even influenced. There's some drumming. If you look at some of the work that Michael Jackson, there was some Dre, there were some musicians that interfaced back, you know, and forth between there. You and I were talking about Jonathan Moffatt, who's a hell of a drummer. If you want to look at a great drummer, mm-hmm. oh, my God. He did this. Jonathan Moffatt did a where he sat in his drums and he had a cymbal set up and he was just going and he was doing these and it was just like, that's discipline, but that's also knowing where your cymbal, knowing where your targets are, and that's some good stuff, really good stuff. So, but
man,
it's good to see you.
We do. I appreciate you, man. Thank you, Senator, for spending some time on Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy.
Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy. I love that name, man. That's so good.
Thank you. Thank you, brother.
You are invited to party like it's 1999 million years ago. Science Club is back at the Science Museum of Minnesota. On June 13th, you can celebrate Pride with dancing, dinos, and other discoveries. You can be dazzled by a show-stopping drag performance, make your own slime, explore museum galleries, and dance the night away with your community. Whether you're here to dance, sip, or wander, Club Minnesota is the place to be. You can get tickets at smm.org.
Attention that a mysterious force is loose somewhere in outer space.
The mysteries of creation are there.
Up in the sky?
Up in the sky.
The moon and the planets are there. And new hopes for knowledge and peace are there. And therefore, as we set sail, we ask God's blessing on the most hazardous and dangerous and greatest adventure of which man has ever embarked.
Disaster to evil factors. Demonic chapters shall be captured by kings through the storms of days after. And to the earth from the sun through triple darkness to plaster with a force that can't be compared to any firepower. For its mind power shared, the brainwave causes vessels to circulate like constellations reflect at night off the lake. Word to the Father and Mother Earth, seeking everlasting life through this hell for what it's worth. Look, listen, and observe. And watch another sea cycle pulling my peeps to the curb. Heed the words. It's like.
Yo, what's up? This is JSE the Navigator with a good friend of mine, Nimco Ahmed, is joining us from the DFL convention down in Rochester. I have known Nimco for more than 20 years. A amazing activist, organizer, powerhouse in the Twin Cities area. Nimco.
What's up?
Welcome. How you doing?
Good, my brother. What's up?
Man, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. We got through most of the work for the convention.
Indeed.
At this point. And it's been
eventful.
Eventful?
Yeah. Somewhat.
What's your perspective of how things played out? You were here last night.
Mm-hmm.
For some of the endorsement efforts that went on, and then most of day to day. So, any surprises that you've noticed, or have things played out the way you thought they would with the endorsement process?
Last night was eventful. I mean, we were hoping that we were going to have non-contested races last night, so to get over with it. But, you know, Keith Ellison got the endorsement for Attorney General the third time, which was really great, non-contested. That happened pretty quick. Steve Simon got his. It was also pretty quick.
Yeah, I found out it was in his video. He told me that.
Oh, you were on the video?
I'm a huge fan of Steve Simon.
Oh, Steve is amazing.
He helps protect the vote.
Steve Simon is an amazing guy, so I'm really glad that he got the endorsement. And then Senator Klobuchar, obviously, you know she's running for governor. The endorsement was last night. Obviously, most of us thought it was non-contested. But there was a young lady that ran against Senator Klobuchar for the gubernatorial race. Her name is Colby, and she shook up, you know, she shook the room last night. And
shook up the establishment a little bit?
It was fun, because, you know, it was getting late, and some of us, you know, I was getting, like, all bored, like, in terms of, like, the fact that most of the races were non-contested. So seeing, like, you know, suspension of the rules, like, you know what I mean? This young girl that we don't even know came out of nowhere. You know, her people were able to actually suspend the rules and get her nominated from the floor. And then, putting her in the race. And then not only that, but that she was able to give a speech and participate in the Q&A. That was different. We didn't see that, you know, come into play. I don't think anybody came to the convention thinking that that actually might actually happen. But it happened. I mean, that was the party of last night. Like, literally, I mean, for me, you know, you've seen plenty of convention yourself.
Yes.
We don't come all the way to Rochester or Duluth without a fight, without actually seeing some action. So last night, that was some of the action that a lot of us came here for.
Well, I tell you, it's tough being the Big Ten party.
Right.
You know, we got a lot of space in the tent.
Yeah.
But sometimes, you know, someone steals someone's pillow or is taking their mat or, you know, so there's a little bit of frustration, a little bit of friction from time to time. But what's most important coming out of this convention, and I know you agree with me, is that we come out as one.
Right.
And that our goal is to really work to advance DFL values.
Right, yeah.
And ensure that our state, that we can hopefully regain that trifecta. I think that's the goal here coming out. And so any surprises today?
I mean, you actually said it very well. I mean, this party is, you know, if there's anything to take away, is we are a party of inclusion and making sure that everyone has a seat at the table. So last night, that's what we have seen. Majority of the people wanted to actually give that young lady an opportunity to actually be heard, to be at the table, to run for, to have the right to run for an office such as that, and against establishment, as you said. So that was really, really good. In terms of today, you know, it was non-contested once again, but today was different. Like, you know, I mean, like, the system wasn't working. I mean, as much as we heard that even the Republican Party, their convention, they were having a hard time in terms of their process, in terms of, like, electronics weren't working the way. But we didn't, ours was not that bad. Theirs was pretty bad. So, yeah, but at the end of the day, we came to be with our brothers and sisters in the party, just to hang out, to talk, you know, eating together, you know, seeing people that we don't normally see all across the state. You know, nothing to complain. All good.
It's mostly a DFL love fest.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, we agree
to that.
That's what we come for. You know that.
That's right. We're going to party at the point.
Right.
This is where we put the party in the party.
Exactly.
This is a celebration. Folks are going to leave here energized, ready to do battle. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, big surprise on the GOP side.
Yeah.
Lisa Daymuth, who was supposed to get the endorsement for governor, now that thing has changed up. So
we got a brand new player on the.
Now we got to do that opposition research.
Right.
See what's up with this individual ended up.
Yeah.
Because we're not spend too much time. We're at the Democratic Farmer Labor Union Convention. Mm-hmm. Here, so let's keep it focused.
This is our time.
Right. So let me ask. Okay, this is Beast Rhymes and Democracy.
Okay.
It's a hip hop and politics show. So I got to ask you some questions about hip hop. What's your favorite hip hop song? I know you probably got some B-girl moves. I can see that. I wouldn't be surprised.
I mean, for a girl, Miss Elliott would be mine.
Okay.
And, you know, I love Busta Rhymes. Like, you know,
okay.
I mean, Snoop, you know. Some little West Coast is always cute, you know.
Yeah.
Sea walks, you know.
Okay. We need a little bit of that up here.
Right.
Don't we?
A night like this is like, you know what I mean? This is time to sea walk yourself back to your city, you know what I mean? Backwards, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, so, yeah, hip-hop is great. I mean, today is different. I mean, hip-hop is different nowadays.
Yeah.
You know, in our days, you know, in the 90s, 80s, like, you know, music was like, the rhyme was different, the flow was different, how you carry yourself was around music. Even your words, like, you know, you be in there using, your own rhymes from, you know, your favorites, So definitely something that we kind of miss. I don't know nothing about today's day of music. Like, yeah, you know, for my kids and here and there. But I'm still that girl, you know. I'm still in that 90s. I'm still you know, grooving and, you know, boogieing, you know.
I live in that space, yep. The golden era. We definitely do on the show. I aspire to really try to find ways to bring the hip-hop community more into the DFL.
Right.
So I want to start a hip-hop caucus.
Oh.
Right? And really use that, use the music, the culture, hip-hop culture, to engage folks that maybe see themselves as not politically aligned, but then they care about a lot of different
things. Right, right, right.
So if there was a way of creating a format and an engagement structure and organizational effort, what do you think about that? Hip-hop?
I love it. I mean,
DFL. Could you see B-boys and
B-girls?
Yeah,
actually.
Getting it in, maybe some rhymes, some lyricists, spoken words, something with a little more flavor.
Mm-hmm.
You think that would help in our organizational efforts?
We actually did. You know, I'm an organizer, so for me and anything that I organize, I like to meet people where they are. If it's around music, you meet them where they are. If it's around sports, you meet them where they are, especially young people. If, you know, for a long time, and like, you know, even today's day is different, but in our times, we struggled engaging a lot of young people into politics and what matters really in terms of their life and so forth. And one of the things that I remember back in, when was it? I believe it was, We did the National Political Hip Hop Convention.
Okay.
Right after, I believe it was right after Carrie Edwards, or right around that time.
Okay.
And the reason was, one, we were struggling getting young people out to vote, and two, we had too many swing states. Like, we had 16 states,
mm-hmm.
and we thought the ultimate decision makers would have been the young people if they came out and voted. So a group of us nationally started the National Political Hip Hop Convention.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be exactly like the convention that we are here today. It was
mm-hmm.
like, you know how like the Republican Party will have a national convention, the Democrats will have a national convention.
Mm-hmm.
So we said we want to have a national convention for young people, mm-hmm. and it will be hip hop and politics. And the only thing that every young person that will come to the convention will have was for them to register X amount of voters and bring their issues to the table.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember we had our first national convention in Newark, New Jersey.
Mm.
And the current mayor of Newark, New Jersey, Ross Baraka, was the chair.
Okay.
So, and we brought, I think, thousands of young people all across the country. I particularly worked on the Midwest, young people from the Midwest. So we took a bus from here, went to Wisconsin, registered voters. Then we went from Wisconsin to Chicago, registered more voters. Then we went to Michigan. Then we went to Cincinnati, Ohio. Then we went to New York, then we went to New Jersey for the actually convention. And everywhere we went, we had a concert, we registered voters, and then we went on. And all of that, we did it on the bus. But every young person that was on the bus that I was managing mm-hmm. simply registered voters, but also brought everyone that they registered, they brought their issues to the convention.
Okay.
So when we came to the convention, it wasn't about us only. It was
mm-hmm.
about the hundreds of people that we registered the issues that we brought to the table. So I definitely think hip-hop and politics can mix very well.
Yes.
It just needs an investment. It needs a trial. It needs mm-hmm. people to actually believe in it, because it's really hard, because once you are into music, you are only into music. But the two don't actually, they can go hand in hand together.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the intro has to be right in how we do it.
Mm-hmm.
But we have tried, and I think the convention only happened 2 times.
Okay.
But it did have a future, but apparently it didn't. But I can see it coming back.
Well, we're going to try to do what we can here in in this state.
Right, right.
You know, I'll definitely be looking for it to you and your wisdom and your experience. Mm-hmm. So I'm drafting you in my efforts.
I'm down.
To get the Hip Hop Caucus started here at the state DFL.
Let's do it. I'm
before,
in.
Before we get up out of here, again, I've known you for a long time. Your spirit is strong, and you care about the people, the citizenry from a variety of different communities, your community, and other communities, and I've always appreciated that about you, how you show up and how you share your knowledge and your passion with the DFL. What inspires you, Nympha? What inspires you to come back, get involved in the party, and try to help us level up as a state?
Mm-hmm. I mean, my biggest inspiration is people like you. Definitely, like, you know, politics is not something that you can just walk all alone in. You look up to people, and, you know, who got you here? What got you here? What are the issues? You know, when I got into politics early on, at a very young age, it was through Paul Wellstone, and, you know, I was one of the youngest staffers that worked on Paul's last campaign, and I carry that. You know, it's very meaningful. It's an honor that I always carry, having to work with Paul. It's like, you know, it's like we are the messengers that he left behind, like, you know, to carry that baton, to make sure that people know his work and what he has done, but more than anything, what he stood for, and making sure that there's people who are always fighting that fight that Paul fought, and others as well. I mean, we have great, amazing elected officials before Paul and after Paul, but there is nothing like Paul, you know what I mean? It's just like, you know, I always say, you know, to each of its own, but, you know, there's nothing like my Paul, and there is nothing like, you know, anyone else's Pauls, you know what I mean? Because you could have your own Paul, but for me, when I look at candidates right now today, I'm like, you know, how much do we have in common? Like, you know, even today, a lot of people are like, wow, so many people quoted Paul today. And it happens a lot, like not only here in our state, because yes, Paul is native to us, but you go across the country and you always hear Paul Wellstone said this, you know what I mean? We all belong, we all this, we that, right? And, you know, when you hear that, you know, part of you feels like, oh, great, you know Paul. Like, you know what we're about. You know, it's an honor to not only know Paul, but to be from Minnesota, to have such an amazing legacy that a lot of our elected officials actually bring to the table, and that, you know, national platforms. So for you and I, like, you know, we're not in elected position. People say, oh, why don't you run for office? Elected positions are not for everyone. Mm-hmm. Some of us just like, you know what I mean, being behind in the back door. Like, you know what I mean? That's just, I enjoy that. I love that. You know, not that I can't run for office, but it's just like I prefer, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, where I am. Like, I feel powerful where exactly I am, you know, and I love it. I love it. And everything about politics for me is not about running for office, but rather than coming to a convention like this and putting people into office, or, you know, making sure that they stay on their toes and making sure that they do the right thing, and then they're not taking people like you and I for granted, and others that are also listening tonight.
All right. Well, hey, again, thank you for taking a few minutes of your time here at the convention down in Rochester. Appreciate you. Love you, my
always.
Sister.
Always.
Thank you so much. Beast Rhymes and Democracy. We'll be right back, y'all.
Thank you.
Support for KFAI comes from First Avenue, presenting Article Sound System at the Turf Club, Saturday, June 13th. Indie pop reggae rockers, Article Sound System, take the Turf Club stage with their latest release, Are You Smiling Yet? For their sophomore release, Article Sound System delivers an introspective album that feels grounded, yet still retains their signature laid-back sound. Opening the show is Josh Heinrichs and Brendan Clemente. More information about Article Sound System at the Turf Club is available at first-avenue.com.
Make sure Democrats are going to be successful in pushing back against Donald Trump and everything that is wrecking chaos in our world. That is what I want you to do. Like, there's a chance right now for us to all unite, show up, and if you were not at the convention, show up tomorrow morning at 10:45, you know, show up Tuesday morning at 10:45, show up Wednesday morning at 10:45, dfl.org/daily, and you'll be connected to everyone.
So one more question before we get out of here, and thank you, Mr. Chairman, for giving us some time, and congratulations on successfully carrying out, under your leadership, your first convention as chairman. Some crazy things happened. You know, there was another convention that was going on this past weekend, and I don't know what. While I was at the convention down in Rochester, I started getting word of some odd things occurring. Like, there was a presumptive candidate that a lot of folks assumed would get the GOP endorsement for governor. And after 10 ballots, that did not happen. And there were some other crazy things, including a moment of silence for Derek Chauvin, you know, who killed George Floyd. You know, madness of abundance of madness in the GOP on that side of things with their convention. Any thoughts, man, as you get ready to go and wage war over the next few months leading up to the primary and general election?
I think the Republicans in Duluth this weekend did themselves a great disservice to hold a moment of silence for Derek Chauvin, who killed George Floyd, when he's sitting in federal prison and he's convicted of a state prison murder charge. I just don't understand how they could honor someone who has done something to this state, to the communities, to our people. That's their choice. It's a choice. It is an absolute choice for them to honor Derek Chauvin with a moment of silence. And I'll be honest with you, Jamie, I'm not surprised by it, but I'm heartbroken that they would do something like that. And I'm furious about it, actually. I'm really angry about it. And we'll have more to say tomorrow, to be honest, on Monday. In terms of their candidates, you know, it's fascinating to me. The money in the Republican side is behind Michelle Tafoya, but they endorse Adam Schwarzy, I think his name is. like, this guy is something nobody knows about. The money is behind Lisa Damith, the Speaker of the House. The first African-American Speaker of the House, Republican, is going to be, like, trying to be the Republican nominee for governor, and they endorse Kendall Qualls, who is a failed business guy, who is a MAGA guy, who promises to bring Donald Trump to Minnesota. He is committed himself to Republicans to be the Donald Trump of Minnesota. That's literally not my words. This is not me spinning. This is him saying, I'm going to make sure I bring Donald Trump to Minnesota. Like, his leadership will be Donald Trump. So I'm incredibly proud that we have Amy Klobuchar, who people know and have known for 20 years. Like, there's nothing that we haven't already debated about Amy Klobuchar, honestly. Everything about her record has been on the table already. We have Keith Ellison as Attorney General. We have Steve Simon for Secretary of State. We have Zach Filipovich for state auditor. Like, we have a great group of candidates. And what happened in the Republican convention in Duluth, perplexing.
Yeah, of course, Senator, Peggy Flanagan, a lot of folks are excited. Potentially historic race, that one, where, you know, Peggy is vying to become the first Native woman elected to the U.S. Senate.
So, incredible.
Yes, incredible opportunity.
No Native woman ever elected to the Senate. Minnesota will do it on November 3rd, 2026.
That's right. That's right. Well, my friend, I want you to get some rest, man, so you can you can lace them up and get back
at it. I'll be hearing my voice. I'm exhausted.
It's all right. That's good work, my friend. We'll be in touch. We'll have you on the show again. But get some rest, and thank you for joining us here, Beats, Rhymes, and Democracy, Mr. Chair. We'll talk with you again soon.
Have a good night.
All right. Thank you.
You are listening to Fresh Air Community Radio, KFAI, 90.3 FM in Minneapolis and on the web at kfai.org.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them and